Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to work through this text and to receive your instruction from it. And we look to you for the help because we know we need you. And we'll give you the thanks for that and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message here this morning is Resting in Christ Alone. Resting in Christ Alone. I see several things as I studied this chapter. I see numerous aspects here, but some of the things that come to the surface is there's a lot of warning in this passage. I want you to notice several aspects of that. Verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should," next word, "beguile you with enticing words." Okay, so as the Apostle Paul writes to these believers, they are believers, they are people who've trusted Christ in the city of Colossae. A lot of these believers, most of them, Paul had never met face to face. But he heard of their faith, and he was concerned that they would be rooted and grounded in Christ alone. All right? And so resting in Christ alone is the overall theme here. Resting in Christ alone for our salvation. Resting in Christ alone in our Christian life, and in every area, resting in Christ alone, recognizing I'm complete in Christ. Notice verse 10, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." We notice that we're complete in him. Verse 10, "Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And so Paul wanted them to understand their completeness. So he gives this warning in verse 4, "Lest anybody should beguile you with enticing words." Verse 8, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of" who? "Man." "After the rudiments of the world," and what's the last four words? "And not after Christ." And so, resting in Christ alone. Now notice forward to verse 18. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." So Paul is concerned that they are going to get derailed from the simplicity of Christ alone, right? That Christ alone is all you need to be saved. Christ, his payment on the cross, is all you need for salvation. You don't need works. You don't need all this performance to hopefully earn your salvation. Did you know that there is so much religion popular in America which is based not on the Bible but on works? And it still falls under the umbrella or the label Christian. But it's all about works. It's whether it's this ritual, that ritual that we're depending on. And there's numerous different labels, and I'm not going to say all the labels or something. I'm not trying to do that. Not that sometimes you can do that, that's appropriate, but that wasn't my intent here. But works-based, and there's different varieties which emphasize us working for our salvation and hoping we make it kind of thing and never really knowing because it depends on us. Well, I mean, we have Jesus too, but we've added to Jesus. Jesus isn't quite an, I mean, you need Jesus, yes, but you also need to do X, Y, and Z, right? Well, that's not what the Bible says, right? Now, does God save us to just live recklessly? Well, of course not. But God saves us by His grace alone. Our standing in Christ is 100% what Jesus did for us. Our righteousness is 100% Jesus' righteousness. It's not Jesus and me that allow me to be good enough to go to heaven. No, I'm not good enough. I'm a sinner. He died for sinners. I trusted Him. I'm saved 100% by His grace. And that is one thing the Apostle Paul wanted the Colossians to recognize, that it's Christ alone. Your sufficiency is in Christ. You are complete in Him. I emphasize verse 10 again. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, he was concerned because, you know, Colossae, the city of Colossae was full of all kinds of pagan religions. It was filled with all kinds of humanistic philosophies. It was filled with all kinds of Jewish religion, okay, which would have emphasized maybe dietary laws and the keeping of festivals. Notice verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So Paul says God's desire for us as a New Testament believer is not to keep the rituals of the dietary laws of the Jews, of the ceremonial laws, of the holy day festivals, of the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Saturday, you know, it's the last day of the week. And God says, it's not my desire for you to be keeping those things. Those things were Old Testament. They were Old Testament era. They were a shadow, it says in verse 17, of things to come. In other words, the purpose of those things was to point people to the coming Messiah. And I don't have time to go into the intricacies or the specifics of that, but I want you to get an overview of this chapter. And so Paul is concerned. So let's see. I've got several points here, 3 points, in fact. And so first of all, resting in Christ alone. Paul wanted them to be firmly established in Christ and His design of the local church. Okay? I want you to see God's emphasis of the local church, of the body of Christ in this passage. All right? First of all, let's notice in chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says that their hearts might be comforted, being, read the next words until the comma, being knit together in love. Being knit together in love. So Paul is saying, I'm I'm concerned for these new believers. I want them to be knit together in love. He's talking about the local church. He's talking about that, the believers in Colossae, to be together as a family, caring for one another, loving one another. That's what he's talking about. Then I want you to notice verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. And so one of the things that happens in the local church is the teaching of the word. And that's important. And so Paul is emphasizing that. But now I want you to see without question the emphasis on the body of Christ, on the local church. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The body is of Christ. And so he's talking about that body of Christ. In other words, we need to be functioning not in Old Testament dietary regulations or Old Testament Jewish festivals that we need to remember, Sabbath days, but he says we need to be functioning in the body of Christ, in the fellowship together of God's people. And now notice down verse 19. And not holding the head. Is it capitalized in your Bible? Yeah, and it should be. Because it's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the head. And so it's a descriptive name. He's the head of the local church. He's the head of the body of Christ. Verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wow. I mean, that verse there is talking about the inner workings of the body of Christ, how it helps one another, how it ministers to one another, how it brings growth and encouragement to one another. It says here that these false teachers, notice back in verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So there's this religious gumbo that he's concerned some people might be deceived by, right? And he says they're doing unbiblical things. They're worshiping angels. There's probably mysticism being referenced here, as mysticism was stuff that was going on in the city of Colossae in that day. There's this spirit, spirit worship and ancestral worship and praying to saints, praying to ancestors who've died, this kind of stuff. And he says, I'm concerned that you would not be beguiled by this unbiblical practices, right? And he says, these unbiblical practices, I want you to notice what it says in the last part of verse 18. These men, these people who are promoting this type of thing, it says, it identifies them as where this is coming from. It says, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. This is something that's deceptive, but Paul identifies that it's coming from, it's a fleshly mechanics, right? Did you know that you can have what appear to be nice, moral people of faith who actually are practicing unbiblical faith, right? The faith in unbiblical things, right? Things that God did not command, things that the Bible does not teach. And they might have particles of truth. That's what makes any good lie believable, right? Is particles of truth, stuff that looks pretty good. I mean, they're nice people, right? I mean, Hey, that's cool. They're sincere, right? They say they love God. But is it the real thing? Are they truly following what the Bible says? And that's what Paul was concerned about. He says, I'm concerned for these believers in Colossae that they would just, I'm concerned that they wouldn't be moved away from the simplicity of Christ, of Christ's design, of the local church, of the body that ministers to one another, and there's teaching from the Word of God, and the service out of the local church. He says, I'm concerned that they would deviate into philosophy, verse 8, the philosophies of the world, the traditions of men, and not after Christ. I'm concerned that they would get caught up in Jewish dietary regulations and festivals, verse 16. I'm concerned that they would get off in some wonky religious practices of, in verse 18, of worshiping angels and spirits and weird stuff that's driven by fleshly minds. It puffs up man. Did you know some people deny themselves? Some people practice religious things because it builds them up. It makes them feel, you know, like they're really pious. And it's the wrong motivation. And we need the simplicity of Christ, dedication to Christ, to His Word. And so I hope you're getting a feel for this chapter. So Paul wanted them firmly, of course the Holy Spirit wants us firmly established in Christ, Christ alone, and His design of the local church. Secondly, fully embracing Christ's fullness and my completeness in Him. Fully embracing Christ's fullness. Notice verse 3. In whom, it's speaking about Christ. I'll back up to the middle of verse 2. Of full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? In who? In Christ. In Christ. And then we go down here to, verse 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. Did you know that you're complete in Christ? Christ is what we need. We don't need some new program. We don't need some new religious discipline or religious ceremony. Or what we need is Christ and His design, the body of Christ, the local church, the New Testament design that God gave us. God says that's what we need. It's simple. The simplicity of Christ in our lives, in our homes. We are complete in Him. Thirdly, God wants us faithfully exalting Christ and His directives. Okay? In other words, we want to follow what Jesus says, not what, you know, Dr. So-and-so says, right? We want to follow what Jesus says, what the Bible says, what the New Testament teaches us. And so we want to emphasize that. What's His design? What are His directives? Notice, again, as we just dive in here to verse 20. He says in verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. In other words, sometimes misguided religion has regulations that make them look or feel pious, right? It gives them a structure. People like structure, and all structure isn't bad. But notice how these touch not. Oh, don't touch that. Don't taste that. Don't handle that. Notice where they come from. Verse 22. After, would you read it with me? After the commandments and doctrines of men. So we want to rest in Christ alone and what he has taught us, what he is instructing us, okay? Faithfully exalting Christ and his directives. Now, we can see in verse 22, these regulations, all right, are actually man-made. They're the commandments of men, the doctrines of men. And that's, we don't want to follow that, okay? That's not, we want to follow Christ. And that's what Paul is emphasizing. We want to follow Christ. Verse 23, which things have indeed a, what's that next word? Show. A show of wisdom in will worship. Boy, those are kind of, it's kind of an unusual wording there, right? I mean, it's like, well, what's being said here? I mean, this is a little hard to wrap my mind around. What he's saying is these commandments and doctrines of men, the verse 21, the touch not, the taste not, the handle not, and backing up to verse 18, the voluntary humility, the worshiping of angels, this kind of thing, it looks really good, okay? 23, verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. Boy, I'll tell you what, you find some false religions, and they are organized. They have it together, at least it appears that way, right? I mean, they've got structure, they've got things, operations are working. I mean, they've got things polished pretty well, so it appears at least. And that's what he's saying. He says these things, they have a show of wisdom in what kind of worship though? Will worship. It's not worship of the true and living God. It's self-worship, right? They're worshiping themselves. They're worshiping man in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body. Now, I wasn't 100% sure here what neglecting of the body means. Is this meaning that in this religious practice, they're denying themselves, and so they're neglecting their bodies, like denying themselves? Touch not, taste not, handle not? Maybe, okay? Or is he referring to the body of Christ, that they're neglecting the body of Christ? I think it could really be applied both ways. I'm not sure, you know, what the specific intent is here, but nevertheless, both of those seem to fit. At any rate, they're neglecting the body. And notice the key part of verse 23. Not in any, next word, honor. Not in any honor. Okay, so all of this stuff that looks good, it looks humble, maybe self-denial, all of this stuff, it says here, it's not in any honor. And I believe it's talking about God. It doesn't honor God. It doesn't honor God. It's religion, it's polished, it looks really good, it's deceptive, but it doesn't honor God because it's not Christ. It's not Jesus of the Bible. Well, they might use Jesus' name. I'm sure they do. But it's not simple, biblical, New Testament Christianity. You kind of get an idea of the chapter now, okay? I hope so. And notice the last part of verse 23. So it's not in any honor. And then read the last part. To the satisfying of the flesh. It's all about man, right? It's my ego. It's about, hey, look at me. I'm pretty good. I'm holy when you're not, actually. But, you know, I'm moving up in the ranks in this spiritual thing, you know, I'm really prospering. I mean, I'm just, hey, doing the work of God, you know. Actually, it's a lie. And so you can see Paul's concern. Go to verse 1, Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. That's the next town. At Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. You know, Paul had a heart for new believers. And as he writes this letter, that's exactly who he's writing to, is a church he's heard about, believers. And he's concerned. He hasn't seen them. He hasn't been able to be there and teach and all those things. And so he writes this letter and he expresses how they must be rooted. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. I mean, he just wants them to be grounded in the simplicity of Christ and Christ's design of the body, the local church. And so you can see much warning in this passage. So I hope that helps to shed some light on some of the little bit unusual verses that we find, especially towards the end here of the chapter. All right? So I know we definitely didn't touch on everything that's in this chapter, but we did touch on a number of things. We can see that through Jesus, we've been liberated. And we need Jesus alone, the simplicity of Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and I thank you for what you've taught us this morning. Help us to let it sink down in that we would receive these warnings, that we would rest in Christ alone. Recognize our holiness, our righteousness is through Christ alone. All that we need is found in you, Lord. And your design is perfect. We don't need some new extravagant thing that looks really good, but we need you and simply what your word teaches for our lives and for the success of our homes, our ministries. Lord, we thank you for that. Help us to not get caught up in any of this false teaching, this misguided religion, but help us to simply follow Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.